ההבדל השישי הוא שהבוטח באלוקים הוא אהוב על כל סוגי אנושים. He's beloved by all sorts of people. והם סומכים עליו ורלי עליהם מפני שהם בטוחים שלא יגרם להם נזק, because they are certain that he will not cause for them damage. וליבם שלם איתו, and they feel safe with him. ואין הם מפחדים ממנו על נשיהם ועל ממונם, they're not scared about him because of their wives and their money. והוא גם כן בטוח מהם, מפני שיודע שאין ביודו בכל טועים, שלאף נברא להוביל או תועלת או נזק, and he's not worried about them either, because he knows that there's no one that can cause him any benefit or any nezek. ולכן הוא לא מפחד שיזיקו לו, therefore he's not scared they'll damage him. כשם שלא מצפים, no, at the same time he doesn't want anything from them. וכשהם בטוח מהם והם בטוחים בו, when they trust him and he trusts them, שלא יעשו זה לזה רע, no one's going to do anyone any harm, אז הוא אוהב אותם והם אוהבים אותו. He loves them and they love him. כמו שכוסו בטח בהשם חסד יסובבנו. Someone who trusts Hashem is surrounded by chesed. ואילו מי שאני בטח באלוקים, אין לו אוהבים. Someone who doesn't trust Hashem, not too many people love him. מפני שחיים מתומד הזמן שיש לכן ומלכנה בהם. He's always jealous what people have and always wants what they have. וכל דבר טוב שהוא רואה אצלם, נדם אלו כאילו הוא נשלל ממנו. Every part of them gets something good, he kind of feels it was taken from him. הוא כאילו פונוסם לקוחה מפונוסוי. This guy's got a good פונוסה, זה מה החשבון. This guy got a good donation, so my cheshbon. This is a way, you give him a big donation, you don't give me a donation, you help this guy, you don't help him. It's ki'ilu biglal ha'mnifza mimenu la'agia lo'isa na'taiva shu'lo yo'ichu la'agia la'em. It's because of him that I can't fulfill my taivas. Kuli ha'im ha'yiroyim reitzim ha'yichoyim la'zol lo'agia la'tavosov. If you wanted to help me, you would have helped me. Why didn't you want to help me? It's as if they want to help him, he would have got what he wanted. If something bad happens to his money or his children, I don't know why I chose just those two, he thinks that they did it to him. He thinks these people can bring damage close to him, can distance him from evil. Since he has imune in this, these fantasies of his, he's always angry with people and he's always speaking against them. He hates them and he's cursing them all the time. You know people like that. They're always walking around catching and they nudnik him and you don't want to be in the room with him. This person is the most despicable person in this world and the world to come. Someone who's an akshan, somebody who's always looking at other people and checking out and always on other people's cases, lo yimotze toiv, they'll never find good. They'll find good. Jealousy is a terrible, terrible midah. Very dangerous midah, and it's rooted in a lack of betochen. Lo sachmud is in the Ten Commandments. See, the Ten Commandments doesn't sound like such a terrible thing. There's worse things in the world. You know, whatever, guys, got a nice house. You also want the house. Okay, Nishkafe, that's got to be the Ten Commandments. Why is it there? Why is it there? Why is it so choshuv? Why is it so choshuv? It's choshuv because Losach Mud is rooted in, I don't believe in Hashem. If I trust in Hashem and know that it's all from Hashem, then why do you want the other guy's house? It's like wanting someone else's spectacles. If this also Lanta said jealousy is wanting somebody else's spectacles. But it's not the same prescription as you. It wouldn't be good for you. Yeah, but I want it anyway. You don't believe. A Moedika Midrash, I heard this recently, unbelievable Midrash. You're listening, Arik? Listen to this Midrash. A Moedika Midrash. I heard it just for you. Otherwise, I wouldn't have remembered if you weren't here. So he, Moshe Rabbeinu is davening, V'eschonon. In Midrash Rabbah on V'eschonon, Moshe Rabbeinu is davening to come and tear it to Israel. It's amazing tefillah he davens. You go look and see what he was davening. Let me just live in Eretz Yisrael as a bird sitting on a tree twitting. That's all he wanted. Please, Hashem, live in Eretz Yisrael. I don't want to be Moshe Rabbeinu. I'll just be a bird. Just to be in Eretz Yisrael. And you know what we're talking about? Moshe Rabbeinu, who was where? He was ponim ha-ponim in Hashem. He had the ultimate spiritual experience that anybody could ever have. And now he'd rather be a bird in Eretz Yisrael than hanging out with Hashem. In Madim, what he was talking about here. But one of the twillers, he says, is, I don't have to go into Eretz Yisrael as the money. Let Yeshua be the money. And I'll be Yeshua's Eved. I'll be the Eved of Yeshua. Hashem says, fine, but you've got to serve him the way he serves you. He says, fine, I'm happy to. The Midrash. Next morning, Moshe Rabbeinu gets up early and he runs to Yeshua's house and he says, Rebbe, what can I do for you? Yeshua's a bit shocked. What's Moshe Rabbeinu doing here? Whatever. No. You're now the lead of Klal Yisrael. I work for you. He says, fine, let's go off to the Ol Moed. Let's go off to the Mishkan. Work to do there. They're going to the Ol Moed. They're going to the Mishkan. And Yeshua goes in and Moshe goes in and the cloud comes down and surrounds Yeshua. Moshe Rabbeinu is on the outside and Hashem's now in communion with Yeshua like it used to be the other way around. Yeshua comes out of the cloud and Moshe says to him, what did Hashem say to you while you're in the cloud? And Yeshua says to him, when you were in the cloud, you came out and told me what Hashem told you. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, let me rather die 100 deaths than have this nisoyin of jealousy. Moshe Rabbeinu, onov mikol onov, he begged for this, he wants this. He's happy to be a bird on a tree. About, let me die 100 deaths, okay, rather than feel the jealousy that he felt for Yeshua, his beloved Talmud. Jealous of a Talmud? Hashem's talking to Yeshua, and I don't know what he's talking about, whatever, on Moshe Rabbeinu's level, not our level, on his level, that jealousy was too dangerous for Moshe. Because that jealousy is, it's one of the things that, it's Yosem Adam in Oilam, it takes you out of the world. We know what it is, we know what it looks like, it's despicable. It's worthwhile working on the topic just for this. Just for this. You wanted to know what Hashem told Yeshua? Why? Because he wants to know everything that Hashem says. Moshe Rabbeinu is dedicated his life to understanding the rots in Hashem. Not because he wanted to go and, you know, show off that, you know, everybody knew Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Hashem ponim ha-ponim and Yeshua didn't. Hashem knew, and Moshe Rabbeinu knew who he was. Oh, there's a shtickle Torah here that I don't know. He was scared, he might have been jealous.
Good.
Now you're rationalizing for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu saw a sakana of jealousy here, run away from it with everything. It's a terrible fire. And we know, we see what people look like that have this middle. It's not pleasant.
I didn't get the thing from the bird. Sorry. It was a
one of the tefillahs, Moshe Rabbeinu davened 500 and how many tefillahs? 515 tefillahs. 515 tefillahs, thank you, Moshe Rabbeinu davened. One of the tefillahs he davened was, I'm happy to go into Israel just to be a bird, sitting on the tree tweeting. Just if I'm going to Israel, I don't mind. I don't have to, just let me be a bird sitting on a tree tweeting.
And Hashem said no.
No. We have to understand this Midrash, exactly why Hashem gave him this Nisoyin and why he was going to say yes. And Moshe Rabbeinu accepted this. He would have gone into Israel, whatever. I don't know how you learn Midrash, you have to learn it properly. I take the Midrash, that's how I heard it. There's another important lesson here as well, and that is if someone who has betochen is available. He's available. Somebody needs him, he's available, because he's not running the whole world. He knows that Hashem runs the world. And if he happens to be in a situation where somebody needs him, even if he needs to be somebody else, he can be here because that somewhere else Hashem will take care of, and he can help this person right now. A simple example Rebecca always brings. You're walking in the street on the way to a meeting, and someone stops you for directions. So what do? You look at your watch, you've got to be in a meeting 10 minutes. I'm stopping off this guy, I'm going to miss my meeting, whatever. So you rush this guy for these directions. You'll probably get lost somewhere, whatever. And you rush off to your meeting. The Baba Tochen takes time out to give this guy instructions. If that's what's on my table right now, that's on my table right now. Obviously, he has to make a cheshbon. It could be that if he's taking his child to hospital or whatever, or something, he might have to say to this guy, I'm really sorry, I can't help you now, whatever, because I've got to be somewhere. Okay, then you have to make cheshbonus. But at least it becomes a choice. I'm not rushing to get someone there, if I can't help you, and I'm sorry, just go left, right, yasha. Whatever, you know, lands up in cars or whatever.
And now someone else.
Yeah, and I'll say, no. He takes time, and if you see the guy's not getting it, he'll walk with him and show him where to go. Available. He can help people. Because he's not caught up with 50 other jobs. When he's sitting and talking to you, he's talking to you. And he's not thinking about all the other things he needs to do. You ever noticed when you're with a Godel be Israel, you always feel like you're the only person in the world? People often report that. They come back from another God, they say, wow, I thought I was the only person in the world. He's nodding, yeah. You know why? Because you are the only person in the world right now. Because all the other 50,000 things that he's got on his desk, they're not in his desk right now. You're on my desk. Yeah, but what about all the other things? Hashem's running the world, not me. Hashem put you on my desk right now. I deal with you. And all the other things? What other things? There is only you right now. And when you walk out the door, I will then make a choice whether I want to lock the door and do the other things here, or I'll see somebody else on my desk. But I'm available to help people because I'm not tied up having to fix the world. Somebody once, I was complaining about my teeth. And someone said, why don't you go to the dentist? I just said, I'm so busy, I haven't had a chance to go to the dentist. He said, you know you're not vicarious. I said, I am probably one, but why? Just because I didn't go to the dentist? He said, no, because you think you run the world. And therefore, while you're at the dentist, the world's going to collapse because you don't have time to go to the dentist. So what, you mean Hashem can't run the world while you're in the dentist's room? You have to go to the dentist, you go to the dentist. What about all the other million things I have to do? What are the million things you have to do? It's not your business. It frees you up to do a lot of things that you wouldn't be freed up to do. And you see that by people that have this middah. Amazingly, unbelievably, always available. Or not. And I'll apologize and say, I'm sorry, I really can't help you now because priorities means that right now I have to deal with this and not you. So you'll be who Hashem takes care of. And you'll be very sorry and very apologetic and it might even upset him that he can't see you right now because he has other priorities. Fine. But someone who doesn't have any batok and he has to do it all. He has to fix up the whole world. He's never free, he's never available for anybody. Okay. Ahevdal Hashvihu. Shabbatah Elokim Einu Mitztayer Lo Keshenivatze Mimenu Lahasig Es Mevakashoi Velo Keshechoser Loma Shehuv Lo. He never gets upset when he's unable to receive, or when Hashem doesn't say Hashem yet, when he doesn't get what he requests, and when he's lacking what he loves, v'lo eged is mashiyesh losit, and he's not worried about what's going to be tomorrow. Pena yuchlasigo aus, maybe he won't be able to get it then. So better run and get it now, because maybe who knows what's going to be tomorrow. V'lo mishtadel lasig yosim in teipanosoid, and he doesn't mishtadel to get more than what he needs. For his panosa, veinu matrid es machshavos av mashi imocho, and he's not bothering and thinking about and worrying about what's going to tomorrow. If you do nothing else in your life and you can master this midah, you'll achieve enormous greatness. Just to be in the moment, to live here and now in the moment, and not worry about tomorrow. It's a Rashi in Tomim Tiyum Hashem Akecha. You'll makayim that mitzvah as well. Rashi says, al techako ala asidois. Don't worry about what's going to be tomorrow. Don't look into the future. It doesn't mean you can't stop now and plan for the future. Sometimes you need to do that, but that becomes a very now experience. But to be worried and torrid and what's going to be, because he keeps remembering, he doesn't know when he's going to die. He's worrying about tomorrow. He has a guarantee he'll be here tomorrow. The same way as betochen in Hashem that he'll be here tomorrow. He has betochen that if Hashem wants him to be alive, he'll organize him whatever he needs to be alive. If Hashem doesn't want you to be alive, he wants you to die of starvation, you won't find food no matter how hard you try. But if Hashem wants you to be alive, he'll give you what you need to be alive. He's not going to say, I want you to keep alive and there's no oxygen in the world anymore. So, that's why that works. He wants you to be here. He'll give you what you need. It's not a simple one, this. He's not happy and thinking about something that's going to come in the future. It's not so posh, because one of the things we need to do is anticipate the good and think about the good that's waiting for us in Olam Haba. Kubi's talking about here. Person shouldn't be all praiseworthy and simple and anticipating the good that's coming tomorrow, because do you know what's going to be born tomorrow? And he's also not worried about bad that's going to come tomorrow. Once again, if he knows that there's a particular bad that may be coming away, he has to take protection measures. If there's a lot of burglaries in town, he has to lock his door. He might have to get a burglar alarm. He might have to put up bars. No, I'm not talking about his shtadlus. In the world of betochen, he's not worried. If betochen requires, if his shtadlus requires me to put up a burglar alarm, I'll put up a burglar alarm. Not because I'm worried, but because that's normally shtadlus. When you live in a place where there's lots of burglaries, you put up, you make reasonably shtadlus. Remember in South Africa, we used to have this discussion all the time in the Kailo. When there was all the gnavers and everything going on, did you have to have an alarm? Did you? But it's all from Hashem anyway. And if Hashem doesn't want the Shvatzer to come in the house, you won't. Who says you have to go to all this expensive alarms? Blah, 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 blah. I remember my Rebbe saying, Muzayn Normal, as he said in everything else. You'll be normal. Normal people are putting up bars and putting up alarms. You put up bars, you put alarms, not because you think it's going to help. Hashem's the one that's going to make a difference. You can put up bars to the Shemayim if the Shvatzer, if Hashem wants the Shvatzer to get into your house, he'll come into your house. You can build walls up to the sky. If Hashem wants a terrorist to come into the country, he'll come into the country. You have to make whatever's normally shtadlis. But in the world of Betochen, he's not worried what's going to be. He's not worried. You don't know what's going to be. The things you're worrying about tomorrow, they're going to be bad, usually never happen. The things you're anticipating that when you come tomorrow, they're going to be good, also usually don't happen. So you spend your life fritting away the past instead of being in the now. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says also don't be worried about the tzoros that's coming tomorrow because you don't know what's going to be born tomorrow. Shema lamacha einenu. Because tomorrow maybe what you're worried about doesn't happen, and you see, because you're worrying about something, a world that wasn't his, you were living in someone else's world. So what does he use this middle of worrying? Because a Jew has to always worry. You can't have a Jew's not worrying. That's, you can't have a Jew's always clutching and worrying. So what's he really worrying about? What he should worry about and put his koichus into worrying about is that he's not doing what Hashem wants him to do properly. And he's trying to do the best of his ability. That requires you to know what your abilities are first. Don't try to serve Hashem the way everyone else is. First find out what your abilities are, and then try and do the best you can. In the external and the internal world. Because he's thinking about the fact he's not going to be here all his life. He's not going to be here forever. And he's thinking about where he's going. What's he worried about? He's worried that suddenly he'll die. Gairim lo tosefes ishtadlis vizrizos bachonis tzeder chaylam abo. He has to use his worry about when he's going to die, not to get immobilized, but to, on the contrary, to arouse himself to prepare more and more for the journey. V'lo miyachis chashivas l'mashu meichin l'tzerich olam hazeh. He doesn't apply any importance to the things that he acquires in this world. This world has no value for him other than what it can provide him in terms of what he can do in Olam Haba. They express this, they describe this in the following words. Shuv yom echad lifnei misoscho. Do tshuva the day before you're going to die. What does that mean? Do tshuva today, because tomorrow maybe you're going to die. And you'll find it all your days. You're doing tshuva. Kohelet says, make sure that all your days, your begodim are white. Make sure that you're always clean and neat and tidy. You don't know when the king's coming. Or if somebody once said, live every day as though it's your last, and one day you'll be right. It's another way of describing that chazal. That's what someone who's b'tach in Hashem looks like. Now, what does someone who's not b'tach in Hashem look like? He's always worried and he's always anxious that all the happenings and events of the world are going to do bad for him. And that which he doesn't get what he desires, and that which he doesn't get what he's requesting, he grabs and he hoards and he collects everything because he thinks he's going to be here forever, so he better be prepared. He's not scared of death, because he thinks his days will never end and his life's never going to come to its conclusion. He doesn't think about what's going to be in the end. He spends all his life building this world. His spiritual situation doesn't get his attention. He doesn't think about it deeply. How am I keeping the Torah? And what provisions am I taking for Olam Haba? What's my house in the next world going to look like? What am I going to look like there? We're talking that he's going to be playing golf for another 300 years after he goes on pension when he's 30, because he's made enough money to live on for the rest of his life. He wants more and more because he needs it all, because he's going to be here forever. And it takes away all his cheshek to be oisek him of olam haba. He hasn't got time for olam haba anymore. He's too busy trying to collect olam hazeh. And when you give him a bit of tochoch and you try and teach him and help this poor guy, how long are you going to hide yourself and ignore preparing yourself for the next world, and the situation in your next world, when you're worried about where you're going to be? When I have enough panosa and enough of what I need, I'll start worrying about olam haba when I've taken care of everything I need in olam hazeh for my wife and my children. And most people today worry about their grandchildren and their great grandchildren. You have to make sure you've provided for all of them. Then, when I've done all that, then I will sit and learn. Then I'll have no more worries about olam hazeh. Then I'll pay back Hashem what I owe him. Then I'll start worrying about olam haba. And you know when he starts doing that? Never. Because it never happens. Never happens. Can you switch this off for a minute, please? I was at a Shabbos table.